Each week on the hit show Out of the Fog, spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, lights up your day with spiritual conversation, enlightening guests, and on-air readings that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keep the atmosphere positive and generous. Want an on-air reading? Tune in to hear Karen take your calls and deliver the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Now here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, also known as the Fog City Psychic. And each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. Now, today's show is about living with grief. And you're about to meet two remarkable, strong, funny women who have transformed their personal tragedies into a path of shining their light for others. My guest in the first half hour today will be grief recovery specialist and intuitive guide Glenda Pearson. And in the second half hour, you'll meet Jan Warner. She writes the blog Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief at griefspeaksout.com. And I'll be bringing Glenda on the air in just a minute. But first, the heart of my work, the reason I'm here, what I do, is providing compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance for people who are feeling stuck, who are feeling like they've lost their connection with their own inner wisdom. If you'd like to set up a private session with me, it would be my pleasure to help you move forward for your highest and best good. You can get information about what to expect when we work together at fogcitypsychic.com. The next Out of the Fog Salon is on Monday, December 19th. That is the online gallery reading where everybody gets a reading and we all have a blast in the process. All you need is a phone to participate in this. You can get details and sign up at fogcitypsychic.com. While you're on the site, head on over to fogcitypsychic.com/intensive because this is something a little bit new and I think it's going to be fabulous. I'm teaching an online psychic development intensive that begins on January 5th. It's a four-session class that I'm limiting to a very small group of people. We'll be exploring and experimenting with our intuition in a safe, protected space, and I welcome students of all levels who are committed to this journey. The class fills by application only, and that's because it's a chance to work very closely with me in a really small group. So I want to be sure that everybody who's in the class is kind of on board and we're all committed to the process. Take a look at fogcitypsychic.com/intensive and email me if you feel like the class would benefit you. And in fact, just don't be shy about emailing me at all. You can find me at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at fogcitypsychic.com. I love getting your feedback about the show. I have a great time going through your emails after every episode. If you have guest suggestions or questions, anything, let me know. And now, Glenda Pearson is a Reiki master, intuitive guide, author, and a certified grief recovery specialist. In her book, But Should the Angels Call for Him, she tells the story of the death of her only child, Chad. By working through her grief, Glenda has found her true calling in serving others. She conducts workshops and serves as a guest lecturer. She uses different modalities to break down cultural myths in the bereavement process. And she uses unique tools to guide others to find balance and healing on their journey through grief. You can find out more about Glenda and her work at livingthroughloss.com. Great website, by the way. Lots of resources there for you. Glenda, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Well, thank you very much, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
I'm so glad you could be here. Can you share with us a little bit about how your personal experience led you to the work that you're doing now?
One of the things, I guess, that most grievers, well, I shouldn't say most because you never know. Each grieving experience is unique. But for me, my whole foundation was shook and torn apart when, you know, Chad decided to, he didn't decide, but the accident happened. So my whole foundation was shook, and I needed to rethink everything that I had built my life upon previous to his passing. So, and through all that and through everything that I've been through, that led me to the point of where I am now, and that is to help other people find balance in a world that feels unsafe, and in a world where you feel like you have no control anymore. So it was just pretty devastating, you know, experience. People have all kinds of losses. But when we got the phone call that Chad was hit by a car and killed, it was just, you can imagine, it was just kind of horrible. So, sorry, it's going on and on.
No, you're not going on and on. It sounds like the experience is something that really does turn your world upside down, that just shakes at whether it's unexpected or whether it's a long-expected loss, that maybe losing someone you love just turns everything upside down.
Right. Loss is, you know, society prepares us for how to clean house, how to go to school, how to study, how to do this, but society never prepares us for how to deal with loss. And so it's kind of become my mission to help people to be comfortable. I know that sounds strange, but to be comfortable with what they're feeling and to know that what they're feeling is okay, you know, unless, of course, you're thinking of suicide and that kind of thing, then you definitely need to talk to a professional and seek some immediate help for those kinds of thoughts. But you understand what I mean about
sure.
grieving thoughts, yeah. So,
what are
the world is unsafe.
What are some typical responses to grief? Is that extreme reaction that you just mentioned, the desire to end your own life, is that a common reaction?
You know, because every person's grieving experience, every person's relationship is unique to the individual. For example, you and I could have the same mother and father, but our father dies, you're going to feel differently about his death than what I would, because even though we're from the same family, because my relationship with my father is unique, your relationship with the same father is unique, and it's different. So it was very much in my forethought to kill myself and go be with Chad. You know, I thought I was being called to go be with him, but hallelujah, I didn't do that. And, you know, I had some dear friends around me that you know, talked to me, and we worked all that out. But some of the common responses that you talked about is when you're really grieving, you have a reduced concentration. And to me, there's a difference between mourning and grieving. When you're mourning, that's that hard, you know, your heart just feels like it's going to beat out of your chest. You can't stop crying. It's an uncontrollable kind of mourning. You don't want to eat. You have disrupted sleep patterns. Your eating habits are different. You know, you don't even feel emotions. The only thing you feel is just extreme suppression of loss. So after you go through that mourning period, for me, it came then to the grieving part. And the grieving part is the part to where you start, for me, looking up and looking out and trying to find answers to fill the now cracks in the foundations of my life that didn't work anymore now that Chad was gone. I mean, you know, your whole identity as a mother, as, you know, a grandmother, you know, you'll never be a grandmother, you know, you'll never have anybody to carry on the name. The name stops here. There's no genealogy after this. You know, all those kinds of things come into play into your mind, and it can cause people to have severe anxiety and stress and not wanting to go forward. So that's what I do. I try to get people to go forward. I loved your beginning talk that you gave about you and what you do, and I kept thinking, right on, girlfriend. That's right.
Well, as you're helping people move forward, and we've just got a couple minutes here before we go to the break, is what you're trying to do is fix them, patch the cracks, and your title is Grief Recovery Specialist, so you just patch them all up and they're shiny and new, and you just, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, not at all. What I try to do is if I ask you to come into my house and to paint this room, and you say, okay, I'll take that job, but the only tools that you have in your tool belt is a screwdriver and a hammer. You can't possibly, even though you want to paint my room for me, you can't do it. So what I teach people is I teach them different tools to put in their toolkit and in their toolbox, you know, so that they can maneuver through the feelings that they're having and maneuver through the things people say to them. I teach them about the myths of grief and like we talk about STERBS, which is short-term energy relief behaviors. A lot of people will find themselves eating too much, not eating enough, exercising too much, reading too much, zoning out of life. And I give them tools. So I put a paintbrush and I give them, you know, a roller and a rolling pin, so to speak, to help them to maneuver should they desire to. And should they want to, then they can use those newly found tools that they were never taught, and they can get themselves to a different point.
Wonderful. You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Glenda Pearson and I will continue our conversation. She's got a great giveaway for you guys, something that may help those of you who are going through a grieving process or know someone who is grieving. We'll be right back after this. Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. Soulworks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today. Did you know that the average woman will use up to 12,000 disposable pads and tampons in her lifetime? That's a lot of waste. Make the healthier choice for the planet and your body with Gladrags washable cloth menstrual pads. Made with no plastics, adhesives, or gels, Gladrags cloth pads are safe, simple, smart, period. For more information on how you can save the planet one month at a time, visit us at gladrags.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, the Dancing Machine. My guest is intuitive author and grief recovery specialist Glenda Pearson, and we're talking about living with grief. Now, Glenda, I want to ask you, there are some common myths about grief, and for those of us who are interested in helping someone we love or who are going through a grieving process ourselves, what are some of those myths about grieving?
Well, there's a lot of them, but the common ones is you'll hear time heals, and time doesn't heal. It's the action that you take within that time that heals. If time healed, if I got a flat tire and I sat outside my car long enough, time would blow that tire up, right? So time really doesn't heal, but what you do within the time heals. So it's important that you get some movement and don't stay stuck. And another common one is grieve alone. you know, everybody always says, give her space, or he just needs a few minutes in the other room. And as children, we learn that this means that sad feelings should be hidden or experienced alone, and that's not true. That's a myth. Another one is be strong. You know, the griever is supposed to be strong for your wife or be strong for your children. Don't cry. Don't feel bad. You know, and a great big one that probably most of your audience can relate to is replace the loss. This is real common with a pet loss or the end of a romantic relationship. You know, we'll go out and get you a new dog on Saturday, or there's plenty of fish in the sea. You didn't know you were dating a fish until your mom says, oh, don't worry about it. There's more fish in the sea. Huh. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, and then keeping busy. People always think that keeping busy, I won't have time to think about the loss. And it's really sad because people end up spending their whole lives and they never get a chance to get complete with what's unfinished with that particular loss. So those are a couple.
Now, I've heard you say that grief isn't something you get over, but something that you learn to walk with. Can you talk a little bit about how, as your life has changed and as you are helping other people move through that transition, how you live with grief?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things, and especially around the holiday season, it's called an anniversary reaction. So, you know, when Chad was killed, which was on my husband's birthday, his dad's birthday, August 2nd, there's always that ping. Larry hates his birthday now, obviously, but you know, you always have that, gosh, this is the day Chad was killed. And then August 15th was Chad's birthday. Gosh, this is the day that Chad would be X amount of years old. And then Thanksgiving. Oh, Chad really loved Thanksgiving. And now Christmas. So one of the things that you end up doing is through my classes and the things that I teach people, it helps them to pull out the particular tool that they need in that moment to get through the experience of having the loss on the holiday season or having the loss on that anniversary reaction day. My niece graduated from Indiana University, and that's where Chad was supposed to graduate from. I went to her graduation, and I was just, like, very prickly, my whole thing, and I couldn't figure out why I was so agitated. And finally, when I got home, it was like, Spirit said to me, Glenda, the reason you were so agitated is because you were sitting there thinking the whole time that should have been Chad. And I didn't even consciously know that, but in my subconscious I knew that something wasn't right. And my conscious mind told me something wasn't right, but my subconscious mind was processing the feelings of, you know, it should have been Chad. And when I said that it's okay, you know, Chad graduated in a different way, or, you know, I brought peace to myself with the different tools that I knew, but you know, we can become so robotic because of society's conditioning. You can talk about sex, you can talk about politics, you can talk about money, you can talk about anything, but don't dare talk to me about my grief, you know? And it makes people feel alienated and alone because everyone is uncomfortable with the feelings of grief, you know? They'll say things like, you'll be fine in time. I know how you feel. Well, no, you don't. Oh. You don't know how I feel, and you shouldn't be feeling this way is what they'll say, you know.
Right.
A lot of people told me, you know, oh, you're young, you can have more children. Well,
oh,
no,
golly.
I can't. So, you know, it's just things like that. So some of the nice things to say to somebody at a funeral, because I always have people ask me this, and you can say, I can't imagine how you feel. I know that when I lost my mother, I felt like blah, 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 you know. And I tell people to listen with their hearts and not their heads. You know, allow your emotions to be expressed without judgment, criticisms, or analysis. Just ask them, what happened? Do you mind telling me what happened? And let them talk, because that's what grievers want. They need to express to someone safe who's not going to judge them or criticize them what they're feeling and thinking.
And maybe one of the ways that then we can help someone we love who's going through that is by not being afraid of them, and maybe by not being afraid of the power of that grief, because it can be a very powerful emotion, and we shy away from that.
Absolutely, Karen. Absolutely correct. You let the person, you know, take the person out and talk stories. I always say, you know, the Hawaiian kahunas, when I went over and did some shamanic work with them, they would say, let's talk stories, Glenda, let's talk stories. And I thought, what in the world is talking stories? Well, then I realized, you know, we're talking our stories to each other, and through talking stories and listening to other people's stories, you can learn and glean things from those stories that will help you move forward. And, you know, it becomes that old adage that, you know, the two wolves, you know, the Indian grandfather was explaining to his grandson that there's two wolves in your life. There's the angry wolf, and there's the wolf that has peace. And the grandson said, well, which one wins? And he says, whichever one you feed.
Huh.
So, you know, it's you're not feeding to someone's pain when you ask them, tell me a story about Chad. That doesn't, you know, if they're in pain, they'll say, oh, I'd really rather not talk about that. And you can say, okay, I'm sorry, I just thought, you know, I would like to share a story with you about Chad. And those things to me are blessings because they open up your heart space. And your heart space is what has closed down and become very fragile and become very delicate. And you don't want to be hurt again. And so you close that up and you make it hard. But when that happens, and you do that to yourself, and nobody gives you the tools to undo it, then what happens is you become robotic, and you really miss out on the life that you were supposed to lead.
Now, you have on your website, which is livingthroughloss.com, there are good resources there for people. There's information about you, and people can purchase your book, right, on the site?
Right. Correct.
And you also have a rather special giveaway for people who are listening tonight. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I have created some grief affirmation cards. When people are in really the pains, that mourning and in grief, you don't think about cutting your hair. You don't think about going to the salon. You don't think about, you know, sweeping the floors. You just really, some people, I mean, I know for myself, I sat on the couch for like 2 weeks and I didn't even eat much, you know. I was just trying to process. So these cards are affirmation cards to help someone. One of the cards says, today I'm going to bake a cake in memory of my loved one, and I'm going to take it over to my friend's house, and we're going to share stories. So it just, everybody can, and people can pull one a day, and they can do something, and it gives them a focus for that day, and it gets them, what? Moving. We want to move. We don't want to stay stuck.
Right. And you're giving away 10 sets of those mm-hmm. grief affirmation cards. How can people take advantage of that?
Well, if they go to livingthroughloss.com and they email me from that website that they would like to have one of those sets and put in their address, you know, shipping address, I will email the first or ship out 10 to the first 10 people. So,
okay, that is wonderful. Thank you very much for doing that. Your book is But Should the Angels Call for Him? And you're doing work. I know that you're traveling this spring. You're going to be at an after, I don't even know the right way to say it. What's the conference you're going to in the spring? You say it because you won't mess up the name.
Oh, yeah. It's the International Conference on After-Death Communications, April 13th through the 15th in Phoenix, Arizona.
So if you are interested in hearing Glenda speak or learning more about her work, go to livingthroughloss.com. Check out that conference, and you can maybe get to see her in person. Glenda, thank you very much for being on Out of the Fog today. Is there something that you'd like to leave people with today? We've got about 30 seconds.
I would just like everyone to know that you are loved and you are being watched and you are being cared for. And this is something that is going to make you and mold you into who your soul wants you to be. It's going to be a work in progress. So be patient and kind to yourself.
Wonderful. Glenda, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it very much. Many blessings to you.
Thank you. Karen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. And after the break, author and storyteller Jan Warner will join me to talk about her personal story and what she calls dancing with grief. We'll be right back after this short break.
In each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, and today we're talking about living with grief. Now, in the first half hour, you met Glenda Pearson from livingthroughloss.com. We were talking about some of the common myths in grieving and some of the ways that we can help our loved ones and help ourselves as we're going through that process. In this half hour, I'd like you to meet my dear friend Jan Warner. She is a storyteller, writer, and she helps people make their ideas into reality. Her beloved husband, Artie, died in 2009, and any second now, she's about to become a grandmother. Jan writes the blog Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief at griefspeaksout.com. Jan, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you.
I'm awful glad you're here. Now, your life has changed a lot since Artie passed away in 2009. How has your life changed? What's different for you now?
When you say that, I just want to go,
That's not the reaction I was hoping for, really.
I know. I just scream for the rest of the show. My husband was older than I was, and we lived very independent lives, so I was actually surprised because I thought that I would be sad and I would miss him. What I didn't think was that I would feel absolutely destroyed. So how my life has changed in the past 2.5 years, but there's still a lot of sadness. When he first died, I had this really weird idea that he would come and get me, sort of like with angel wings flying down from the sky, and that didn't happen. And then I had a really bad idea, don't do this, that somehow I should then go to him. But it obviously wasn't my time. So I had to reinvent myself. I had to figure out, because people can, I found for myself, because we all grieve in different ways, that people sometimes pressure you to get over it, to feel better, to put it behind you. And I didn't want to do that because I really loved this man. So I started putting myself where life happened. I went to New York City, in case you hear like a fire engine or something go by. culture circle where there were all different kinds of artists. I would go to theater and I would fall asleep, and then eventually I would stay awake. I went to bereavement groups are good, I found, because they let you know that you're not crazy. If you had, I didn't change the sheets for like 2 months after Artie died. Somebody else didn't change the sheets for a year. So it lets you know that as erratically as you're behaving, it's all really normal, because you've lost, whether it's a husband, a wife, a sister, a grandparent, a pet, you've lost somebody that you love that's really important to you. I put my clothes on backwards for like the first few months after he died. I would look at the label, be very careful, and then put it on backwards anyway. But then I thought, okay, I have to stay alive for the people that love me, and as long as I'm doing that, I better stay alive for myself. So I started reaching out to other people. Artie was a recovering alcoholic, and one of the things that he did very well was help other alcoholics. So I thought, let me make myself available to other grieving people. And I was also angry at this idea that I was supposed to stop grieving. So how could I live with grief? How could I be sad and be happy at the same time? I went to see the actress Betty White, who, if you don't know her, she's very busy, has worked a lot, very funny, very alive. She's one of the most alive people I've ever seen. She just never stopped. And you could ask a question. So I asked her, because her husband, Alan Ludden, had died quite a while ago, if there was any advice she had for me. And she got very serious, and she said, there's nothing anybody can give you. Even after 25 years, there'll be the scent of a flower or something, and it'll be like I'm right back with him. I have a 90-year-old friend that's been a widow for 26 years, and the same thing. These women both live active, full, happy, loving lives, and yet they miss their husbands. So that was sort of my goal. And if you want to stop me at any time, you can. The other thing I was going to say is I learned different techniques that I could use that could help make the pain be less when it became very strong. My favorite one is something called rolling your memories backwards, because I realized every time I thought of my husband, I thought of him as dead when he was a very alive person. But if I roll my memories backwards, and you can also play funny music in your head while you're doing that, it can be as simple as I was in a bookstore at an airport, and I saw a book by his favorite author, a new book. Well, I can't buy it for him. He can't read it. He doesn't do that anymore. And I felt sad, and then I thought, well, let me go backwards. And I remembered all the times that I had brought him a book and he had been happy, and so then I was feeling happy. So that's, and there's lots of other things I could say, but let me pause for a moment and give you a chance.
Well, and one of the things that you did was begin to write your blog, Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief, and people can read that at griefspeaksout.com. And one of the things about your blog, it's very intimate, and it's not saccharine. It isn't. It's not preachy. It's very, here's how it is. You're being very brave about how you share yourself, your inner self, with everybody. You also, as a storyteller, have been telling stories about Artie, and in your one-woman show, Pull Me Back, really kind of bring his light and his message out to people, too.
Yeah, Artie loved life. That's the other thing, is that he would want me to love life. Somebody who does something called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, told me that I had a trump card. Every time I was having a good time, I would pull out my trump card and say, oh, I have to be miserable because my husband's dead. And he did something, it's called chunking up, which means exaggerating. He said, and of course, you should be miserable because that's how your husband would want you to be. And I started laughing because it's the opposite. Artie would want me to enjoy the rest of the time I have left and also do what he did, help other people. And I decided the only way to do that was to be honest. So when I first started writing the blog, I just did it for myself. I wanted some place to dump my feelings. And I, for those of you out there that think there's an age at which you have to stop, at 60 you can learn how to write a blog. You can even learn how to turn it into a website, and I actually put my YouTube video on it. And but I just write honestly how I'm feeling. When I thought about killing myself, I wrote about that. When I learn a technique, I write about that. When I have a great experience, I shouldn't say this, but I had Hugh Jackman sang a song to me the other day in a theater in New York. I write about that. And the ups and downs, because people will have meltdowns. I will be going along nicely. We call it the dates. It's Artie's birthday, December 11th. And it's going to be a mixture kind of day. It's a poet friend of mine wrote, "My mother always dies in March." If you don't pay attention to what your feelings are at certain times of the year, your body's going to tell you. You're going to start forgetting your keys. You're going to do weird things. And if you talk to other widows, if you talk to other grieving people, or you go on Facebook, I like blogging. I like going on Facebook because I can hopefully communicate and help people. And I have received so much help myself from all these wonderful, I call people grief warriors, because those of us that are grieving somebody that we love so much and go out into the world and accomplish really cool things, we're warriors. We're carrying the banner. And but if I'm not honest, then to me there's no point in doing it. And my surprise is, of course, is that people read it. And even though I'm writing about my experience about my husband dying, people relate to the, what you call, I appreciate it, the honesty. And so I have received emails from people that have lost. I include pets now, because people also grieve over the loss of a pet. Mm-hmm. All kinds of people, and from all over the world, I got an email. My email is on my blog, and you're free to email me. I got an email from somebody in Lithuania whose best friend had been killed in a car accident. So the internet is an amazing way of making a worldwide community.
Do you think, Jan, that there's a, I think I know what you're going to say, but is there a right or a wrong way to grieve? I know that everyone goes through this in their own way. What do you think? Is there a wrong way?
The only thing I would say, because you are still alive, I am still alive, I used to say, he died. Instead of he died, I'd say we died. I didn't die. He died. But sometimes I feel like we died. So if you feel that you're totally paralyzed and you can't move, and people will say to me, you're depressed, I'd say, no, I'm not depressed, I'm grieving, then I would try and do some of the things that I suggested or whatever works for you, so that you can balance the pain with life, that you don't actually die because the person that you love died. So it's not wrong. What I've done for myself is I have a rule now. I'm allowed to spend 1 day a week if I need to totally collapse. But then I try and do more. Like I said that I've watched like 5,000 DVDs since he died. I try and change the ratio so that I'm doing more what I'm talented at and doing less of being, I'm very good at being lazy and a slug. So that would be the only thing. And I wouldn't say wrong, because people are in a lot of pain. But I would say, I don't want you to lose your light. I don't want the world to lose your light. And I don't think, somebody once said, look at yourself the way that Artie looks at you now, even. Mm. So if you look at yourself through the eyes of the person that you love, that loves you, then you know that they don't want to see you all curled up and not moving. So not wrong, but and to be compassionate. That would be the other thing. The other way is that it's okay to cry. It's okay to talk. It's okay to be compassionate with yourself. And it's okay to say to other people, you know, I'm grieving. This was my husband. This was my father. I'm going to talk about it, and I hope you're interested.
Now, we've got a couple minutes left before we go to break. Do you talk with Artie and argue with him and laugh with him, even though he's passed?
I do. I my daughter said, stop making Artie the third person in the conversation, because people will think you're crazy. But luckily, the people I know don't think I'm crazy. And I have, I don't know if people are listening know that Karen sometimes does, I don't know if you call them readings as a medium. So I talked to him through Karen, but he told Karen to basically get out of his way.
Yes, he did.
Directly. So, yes, I do. I'm skeptical. I don't know if it's my imagination, but it's one of the things that helps keep me sane. It's how do I have a relationship with somebody who I oddly feel is emotionally available, but is obviously not physically available anymore. It's hard. The house is empty right now. I have nobody laying next to me. I have his spirit, maybe, but I don't have a warm human body. And I miss that.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell me just quickly about your Facebook page? Because that's wide open. You have a wide kind of, you step right in on Facebook, as you said, and you're helping people who are in need. How do I find you on Facebook?
I don't know how you find, my name is Jan Warner. So I don't know how you find me specifically. I know that if you Google, it makes me laugh. If you Google Jan Warner, you get very little. If you put Jan Warner in grief, you get a whole bunch of stuff. But actually you could find me on Facebook because I'm one of Karen Hager's friends. So if my picture is on your page, you could click on that if you can't find me just by putting in Jan Warner. And I have an open page for the same reason. I'm aware of it, so I only say things that I want to. But yes, I want to be available to people. That was how I felt good about myself. It's like, who could I be as a human being that will make me feel good about myself? And that was to be available to people, and also to draw lines. So if a man contacts me who says he's a widow who has a young girl and he wants to save my life and then tells me he's a widow and his girl has morphed into a son, it's not somebody I'm going to respond to. So, you know, you always, when you're open, have to be careful about your boundaries because there are people out there that will try and take advantage of you.
Absolutely. My guest is Jan Warner. She writes the blog Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief at griefspeaksout.com. When we come back, Jan and I are going to continue to talk about dancing with grief. And after the break, I'm going to ask her what that means and what that means to her. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and we'll be right back. Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Welcome to Anagallis Herbs, a quirky company that believes Mother Earth gives us everything we need to heal our bodies naturally. We believe if you can't put it in your body, you shouldn't be putting it on your body. Our beautiful face creams and body salves are a treat for your skin and your soul. Our baby products are delightfully effective and non-toxic. You can find our products online at anagallis.com or call our master herbalist, 925-337-5229. Anagallis Herbs. If you can't put it in your body, you don't put it on your body.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking bring to color and your spirit so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. Adil bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with Adil is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with Adil.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm your host, Karen Hager. I'm not wearing sunglasses. I'm wearing my bathrobe. One of the great things about radio, it doesn't matter what you're wearing and nobody knows. Oh, wait, I just told you. Okay, I'm in my bathrobe, but I'm fully dressed and I'm in my bathrobe. My guest is Jan Warner, and she writes the blog Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief. You can find that at griefspeaksout.com. So, Jan, what is dancing with grief? What does that mean?
Well, to me, dancing with grief means that you learn how to have grief inspire you. You don't kill it. You don't hide it. You don't put it in the closet. But you don't let it rule your life so that it's only a sad thing. I thought at some point of the fact that it's true that the darker the night, the brighter the stars shine. That if you want to see like a meteor shower or something, you need no light. And that's what it is that in the darkest moments that we have, and there are some really, really black moments, that's when you can start looking for the pinpricks of light. And that's the outer light, and it can surprise you. It can already be there, and you don't know that. And then all of a sudden, you turn, and you see it. And it's amazing. The other part is that, and I have to tell you, Karen knows this because she knows me. I'm a very snarky, sarcastic person sometimes.
In a loving way. In a good way.
In a loving way sometimes. unless I'm trying to walk down the street and you're getting in my way.
then look out.
But I've come to believe it's a New York experience. But I've come to believe that we really do have an inner light. And sometimes, and especially when Artie died, it feels like it flickered to the point where we'd go out. But that it's my job. When I decided to live, I first decided to live for other people, and then I went, well, this is crazy. If I'm going to stay alive, I better do it for myself as well. So what is that light I carry, and how do I get in tune with it, and how do I make it glow brighter and brighter? And also, I have this responsibility now because Artie's busy off wherever he is, in whatever dimension he is, and he doesn't have his body anymore, so he can't carry his earthly light and do his earthly work. So I've got two lights now. I've got his light and my light. So that's my responsibility, and to do it with laughter and to do it with joy, but also to do it with tears. And I'd say this really fast. The first time I told a story, it was in a storytelling class show, and it was comedy, 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 death, comedy, comedy, comedy. And I thought people would hate me because they had come to laugh, and they didn't. After the show, people came up to me and said, thank you so much. You have to keep talking about this. And that was how I learned that not everybody, but a lot of people really do want to hear what you're really feeling.
I was talking in the first half hour, we were talking with Glenda Pearson, and we were talking about how when you are talking to somebody who's grieving and you don't know what to say, that sometimes that's because we really fear those strong emotions. We're afraid of the power of what the other person's going through. And I think what you do so beautifully is you channel that power and you put it out there in a way that people can laugh and also get a little glimmer of the depth of your experience.
Well, it's also the hardest thing for people that love someone who's grieving is there's nothing you can give me because what I need is my husband back. I am so excited that I'm going to be a grandmother. That's not going to fill the arty space. So it's frustrating. And to me, the best thing that you could say to me always is there's nothing I can say because then you understand it's okay for me to be sad and happy at the same time. So I don't have to hit you over the head and, like, start. But I say, honest, I'm not going to start crying hysterically. I said to my daughter once, you can, why don't you count how many times I mentioned Artie in one day? And she said, well, I would need a clicker. So, but it's with joy, you know, a lot of times. And sometimes you find the people in your life that can handle, like, the strength of the emotion. Because some people will say, I'm sorry for being a downer. And I always say to them, you're not a downer. You're being real. And I really think that's brave, is to be real.
And it also, that maybe that's part of the turning around as your life transforms, is being willing to be in that place and be real. And move on from there, not fixing yourself or changing yourself or magically healing and it's all patched over and it's better, but being to move forward carrying that double light.
Right, 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 yeah. It's the moving forward. I guess I'm different. I have to say that. I'm a different person. I'm achieving quite a bit. I'm proud of myself for the things that I've achieved in the past 2.5 years. Sideways. Can I move sideways? Or diagonally?
Right.
But moving. Movement is important. And sometimes the movement is like the tiniest little step. Sometimes, you know, it's just that you went out for 5 minutes or you called somebody that you hadn't called in a while. It doesn't have to be a big thing. So that's it. But, yeah, I take Artie with me. And the other thing is, when you say, can you do it wrong, if you got remarried in, like, 2 weeks, that's fine, too. Some people react differently. Some people don't need to have that kind of relationship that I feel like I need to continue to have. So, yeah, the important thing is to, like you said, keep that light burning. It's keep the candles burning. You never know what's going to happen next. If I hadn't hung around, I would have missed so much stuff. And hopefully he'll be waiting for me somewhere. And I'll have lots of stories to tell him that I wouldn't have had. Well, he knows. I hear him now. You said, do I talk to him? I hear him going, I know. Don't talk to him before you see me.
Shan, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm going to need to bring you back, and we're going to need to do a whole hour of stories and laughter and sharing in that way. But thank you for giving us a little bit of your light today. Thank you.
Thank you. Keep strong, people.
You can find out more about Jan and read her blog, Stop Thief, Don't Steal My Grief, at griefspeaksout.com. That's all the time that we have for today. Would you please visit fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? Check out the blog. There's going to be a new audio message going up tomorrow. Sign up for the not-so-monthly newsletter. Find out about upcoming classes and the radio show and much more. If you want spirit-led guidance on your next steps, please don't hesitate to let me know. I offer compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive advice, no woo-woo and no scary stuff and no yelling, just insight and guidance. You can find out more at fogcitypsychic.com. Next week, right here on Transformation Talk Radio and the mighty WBLQ, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, my guest will be Raven Martirosian, the reluctant tarot reader. We'll talk about her new book, how she came out of the closet, metaphysically speaking, and how you can do the same. Thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading. And until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Visit fogcitypsychic.com today to book your session with Karen and learn about upcoming events and classes. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to fogcitypsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.